The Bible says that they brought people. These people got so smitten with their belief that Jesus can do it. If he could heal that lame man, lame from his mother's womb, he could do anything. And they believed it, and they began to bring their sick, and they began to bring people who didn't know Jesus, and they began to noise it abroad, said, "You've got to come with me to church. You've got to come. You've got to come where these people are. Come with me. Let me show you there's hope. There's hope in this world. There is joy. There's peace. There's forgiveness. You can be forgiven. You can be made whole. You can be." Because he does it all the time.
We all can use some encouragement. We'll find it today in the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton on this edition of The Encouraging Word. So excited to welcome you into this time of studying God's Word together with Dr. Don Wilton, well-known author and evangelist. And today, Dr. Don completes a series on apostasy. Now, you may know, well, what is that? Well, Doc will deliver a little bit more detail in just a few minutes, helping us unpack some of the things we need to do, like standing firm and standing up. He'll dive into that just shortly, but he wants me to remind you we stand ready to connect with you. We stand firm at the phones to say, let's pray with you. Let us help launch you through whatever the hurdle is you're having to deal with right now. Don't do it alone. Call us at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673, or meet us online at theencouragingword.org. And now today's message with Dr. Don Wilton.
This is the Lord Jesus Christ looking down upon his church. Is it possible? Is it conceivably possible that there could be someone worshiping with us today who has the right clothes on, has a Bible in their hand, is singing the hymns, who has grown up on the inside of the church, but is about to turn their back and say, "I know it, I see it, I believe it, but I'm out of here"? Nicodemus was the prime example of that. Nicodemus came to Jesus Christ in John's gospel. Nicodemus did. Nicodemus had all the trappings. He had all the knowledge. If you went to Nicodemus, Nicodemus would have said, "I believe." G. Campbell Morgan wrote a book entitled Believing Men, but an Unbelieving God. Jesus Christ would not commit himself to them because he knew what was in the heart of man. God doesn't play games. God is not interested in the masquerade of the modern church. God is not interested in our membership or our ability to preach the Word of God. What God says is every apostate comes from within the church. From within the church. Number four, every apostate makes a deliberate choice. We've covered that base. Number five, every apostate refuses to acknowledge his own sin. I'll guarantee you there's at least one person here today who has a son or a daughter or a husband or a wife or a friend or a neighbor. And when you think about that person, you know there was a time. You saw them even walk down an aisle. You were there when they got baptized, perhaps. You remember listening to them sing. Folks, I've met people all over the world that at one time they seemingly looked like they were living for the Lord. But today you cannot smell them for dust. And if you were to go to them and say to them, "What happened?" they'd say, "I couldn't care less anymore." Every apostate refuses to acknowledge his own sin. Now, I'm not talking about matters pertaining to the conscience. Most people have got a conscience, folks. You go to a man who's committing adultery, and he's an unbeliever or he's an apostate, and you go to him and say to him, "What are you doing?" Most people, good living people, would say, "Well, I know what I'm doing is wrong, but I'm going to carry on doing it anyway." Well, what are they just telling you? They're telling you that their conscience is in operation, but they have no recognition of the righteousness and the holiness of God. And anybody who does not recognize the righteousness and the holiness of God has never come into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, that's part of the character of apostasy. What is the cause of apostasy? What causes this to happen? What do you suppose, my beloved friend, causes a person to see and to hear the gospel and then to reject it in full knowledge? What happened? Well, there are many different causes. I'm going to share with you eight of them. Number one, tragic circumstances. Death, undue hardship, injury, unmet expectations. Folks, let me just ask you this, or let me make this statement if I may. Every apostate believes in prayer. It's like America today. You can go to the average football stadium and stand there, and it's pitiful what they're doing. I've had pro teams call me to come and pray in professional football and then send me a message to tell me, Reverend, you can come and pray, but do not mention the name of Jesus. Excuse me? Excuse me? How do you pray anything but in the name of Jesus? I can't go and pray. Don't waste your time. If you're about to invite me to come and pray and you don't want me to pray in Jesus' name, don't send me an invitation because I'm not coming. And I don't care if it means that I'll never get to see another game. I will not sacrifice my Savior on the mantelpiece of mediocrity and popularity. What is God saying? Well, there are tragic circumstances because you can go to people, and I've been around people, someone in their family gets sick, they've grown up in the church, they say, look, I believe in prayer, everybody comes and prays, but the person dies anyway. The apostate is the person that turns around and says, well, there you have it. If that's who God is and God does that to me, I don't want to have any part of him. That's an apostate. See, tragic circumstances can cause or precipitate apostasy. Number two, fear of rejection can cause apostasy. I tell you, I love our young people. Young people, you know how much I love you. I don't mind telling you with all the love in my heart, I pray for you. Probably nothing as much breaks my heart in this church, because I can only talk about where God has me. When I see young people who grow up in this church, I mean, they're involved in everything. I see them on the front row. They go to Crossfire. They get involved in the band. They go out. They witness. They're in discipleship groups. And the moment they get to college, God never smells them for dust. I tell you, you don't know how proud I am of so many of our young people who stand up for Jesus Christ. I've seen young people in this church who have grown up, have gone to Wofford, have gone to Converse, Spartanburg Tech, SMU. I mean, they are in town. They are right here. They live down the road. They haven't gone anywhere. But the moment they leave God's house and the moment they leave their family, you never see them again in the house of God. You don't smell them for dust. All of a sudden, God is in the back door. They have no time for him anymore. Maybe it's fear of rejection. It's the popularity contest. If I show up, if I turn up at 2020 on Monday night with the college students, if I look like a Christian, they're going to reject me. I won't have a date. God causes us to examine our hearts. Number three, persecution. Matthew 24. I think that's why in the latter verses here, God speaks to us about the matter of persecution. Number five, the passing of time can cause us, people, to adopt apostasy, to become apostate. Years ago, when we were in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3, the Bible says, be careful with your salvation, lest at any time these things should slip. Statisticians tell us that the older you become, the less likely it is that you're going to give your heart to Jesus. I believe that the sin of apostasy is rife among the senior adult population, far more than the juvenile population. Because the older people come, the more they are inclined to masquerade. I've met people who would go to a ball game last night, who would spend all day and all night eating chicken and shouting for their favorite team. But when it comes to the things of God, they just cannot seem to even crack a smile. I've seen grown men ride around our community with flags flying on their cars and things stuck all over them, getting up morning, noon, and night. But when it comes to the things of God, they are dead silent. I've seen grown men stand in the stands as I do and wave flags and cheer until they've got no voice left. But when they come into the house of God, they will not open their mouths. They have no problem singing a fighting song. But when it comes to the cross of Christ Jesus, the silence is deafening. Oh God, have mercy upon us as a people. The sin of apostasy. What causes it? Number five, the passing of time. The passing of time. I beg your pardon, false teaching, number five. Jesus said in Matthew 24, many false prophets will rise and will mislead many. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. What a tragic commentary. What a tragic commentary. And by the way, my friends, just to set the record straight, you've ever watched a ball game with me, nobody gets more fired up than I do. I believe God has given. I watched my son play last night again, and I stood in those stands, and I cheered, and I'm grateful, and all these things. God has given us a wonderful life, and he invites us to enjoy the blessings of life. But be careful of false teaching. We've got false teachers rising up in America left and right, flooding our television sets. Number six, temptation. Jesus gave that parable of the seed and the sower. Some of the seed which was sown fell on rocky soil. You'll remember what happened to it. It began, it started, it tried to take root, but the rocks and the thorns choked it up. When I look out across these young people here, and I thank God for what the Lord is doing in this congregation and for the hundreds of our teenagers who are so bold. Young people, I am so proud of you. But I want to tell you something. There's rocky ground out there. And what Satan wants to do is he wants to take that seed which is being sown through your parents and through your home and through your church and your youth group. He wants to just choke it off so that it'll never take root. There will never be something that will result from that. That's an apostate. Number seven, keeping one foot in the world can cause apostasy. I don't know how many times in my ministry I've seen people with every kind of intention, the people that I think God is describing to us here. I don't know if you've met anybody who comes to church and there's great fire, it would seem. I've met people who will readily walk down the aisle, make public professions of faith, volunteer for everything under the sun. And 2 months later, God doesn't smell them for dust. Or 6 months later, you don't know where they are. Can't find them. The warning here is, my friend, that there are some people who see and they know and they recognize, but they keep one foot in the world. God said to us, love not the world. If you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. Not maybe, sort of, kind of, ifish. You cannot be a fence-sitter as far as God is concerned. You're either for him or you're against him. Matthew 5, verse 29, Jesus said, if your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out and throw it from you. For it is better that for you that one of the parts of your body perish than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. Number eight, an eighth possible reason for apostasy is neglected fellowship. Back in verse 25 of chapter 10, the Spirit of God says to us, let us not give up meeting together, as some of you are in the habit of doing. I know there he's speaking to Christian people, but I'm going to tell you something, friend. You cannot survive. You cannot take root. You cannot come to an understanding of who you are in Christ and what it means to accept Jesus Christ, to become adopted into the family of God, if you neglect the fellowship of God's people. It's not going to happen.
That's the voice of Dr. Don Wilton challenging us to stand firm. And one of the joys of that stance that we take is that we don't need to do it alone. You know, there is a wonderful power in unity across the front line of a football team, across the line of an offensive that's, you know, taking the ground, taking the hill, so to speak, for the cause. But I pray you would realize we stand ready to not only lock arms with you, but lock hearts with you to pray about what God's got you going through. You know, there's nothing that we face that God hasn't prepared us for in some way, shape, or form. And some of the preparation might just be your listening at this moment to this radio station, hearing me tell you about Dr. Don Wilton's commitment to say, we want to be available 24 hours a day to pray. You can connect with us keyboard to keyboard online at theencouragingword.org, or one of my preferences, let's talk, let's listen to each other at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. And anytime, day or night, one of us would be happy to take your call to pray with you and for you, maybe connect you with resources, but most of all, we are here to encourage you. That's why we call it the Encouraging Word. Now let's go back to today's Bible study with Dr. Don Wilton.
All right, what are the consequences of apostasy? We've looked at the character and the cause. What are the consequences? There are two consequences here. Number one, the certainty of unforgiven sin. Bible tells us in verse 26, no sacrifice for sins is left. Somebody said to me this week, is that the sin of sinning away your day of grace? Absolutely, yes. Bible says no sacrifice of sin is left. If apostasy is saying no to the gospel, it's saying no to forgiveness of sin. Because outside of the gospel, who is Jesus Christ, there can be no forgiveness. So he's reiterating that for us here, the certainty of unforgiven sin. The second consequence is the certainty of a greater judgment. Of a greater judgment. Did you notice here the word usage? Only a fearful expectation of judgment can be expected. Down in verse 29, how much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot? Now listen carefully. Who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified him. Now here it is, folks. Watch this. And who has insulted the Spirit of grace. Now, why would you suppose that there is a twofold consequence here? Number one, the certainty of unforgiven sin. Number two, the certainty of greater judgment. Well, because there's a threefold reason. Number one, because the apostate has rejected God the Father, according to the last part of verse 27. Number two, because the apostate has rejected God the Son, according to verse 29 and the middle part. And number three, because the apostate has rejected the Spirit of God, according to the latter part of verse 29. Now, what does it mean to reject God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit? Why does that issue the certainty of unforgiven sin and of a greater judgment? Because the apostate, as a result, number one, in rejecting God the Father, he has rejected the one who loved and gave. In rejecting God the Son, the apostate has rejected the one who died and rose again. And in rejecting God the Spirit, he has rejected the one who reveals God and draws men unto himself. Now, folks, that's doctrine here. In other words, you say no to the Godhead, you cannot be saved. Accepting Jesus Christ is accepting God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You cannot be saved outside of all three of them who are one in the same. The triune God. And so it is we get down to verse 32. The challenge of apostasy. The challenge. What can we say about this? I tell you, my friends, I don't know that I've ever studied a subject in Scripture that that makes me feel more uncomfortable. If I'd had my druthers, I would much rather have just skipped over this passage. You think about it. Yeah, we have such a wonderful church and people serving the Lord. And then you get up and say, now, wait a minute. Is it possible that there could be someone on the inside who is outside? Is it possible that there could be someone who, having heard and believed, has not accepted and received? Is it possible that there could be someone who has been drawn by the Spirit of God for years and for years, and yet you have belligerently and willfully said no to the Spirit of God? You have insulted the Spirit of grace. Is it possible? But what is the challenge? 32 and following. Number one, challenge number one, stand your ground. In other words, in verse 32, here's what he says. Remember those earlier days after you had received the light, when you stood your ground. Now, all of a sudden, God by His Spirit speaks to a phenomenal group of people like I'm speaking to you this morning. If I might say, it's like preaching to the choir, you know. He turns around and he has a word of commendation to those who are believers, which deepens their understanding and appreciation of the gospel. He says, stand your ground. In other words, if you want to know the mark of a true believer is one who stands his ground. An apostate will never stand his ground. An apostate will turn and run in a heartbeat. Number two, stand side by side. Well, look at verse 33 and verse 34. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times, watch this, you stood side by side with those who were so treated. College students, you want to know today how you measure up as far as God is concerned? Number one, are you standing your ground? Number two, are you standing side by side? What does it mean to stand side by side? It means no matter where you are, which college campus or which school or which state or which province or which country you're in, it doesn't make any difference. You not only stand your ground, but you stand side by side. Paul talked about it in 1 Timothy. He said, listen, I want you to join with me in the fellowship of the sufferings of Jesus Christ. That's what it means to stand side by side. Number three, stand firm. Stand firm. Verse 39, this is what he says. We are not those, verse 35, I beg your pardon. He says, so do not throw away your confidence. That word there, confident, is an interesting word. I wish I had time to get into it semantically for you. But that word there is the word upon which we base our word for absolute conviction, which literally means that I not only believe and I not only have accepted, but I am absolutely convicted in my heart that I'm a sinner saved by the grace of God, and without Him I'm nothing, therefore I stand firm. An apostate will never stand his ground, an apostate will never stand side by side, and an apostate will never stand firm. But a believer will. And number four, stand tall. Stand tall. Look at verse 39. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed. What does he mean by shrink back? Well, these were people who evidently at one time were part of everything, but now that the chips are down, they've turned their back and they are nowhere to be found.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. We need to stand tall. Please don't go away. Dr. Wilton has just one more moment coming up. in just a second. I just know that he wants me to remind you that we have a point to connect. We have the opportunity to make this more than just a presentation, but instead a conversation. That means we need to hear from you. If you'd like to talk, if you'd like for us to pray with you, if you have questions you'd like us to help you discover the answers for, please give us a call. Our number is 866-899-WORD. Easy to remember, 866-899-9673. I pray you'd store it in your cell and know that anytime, day or night, you can connect with us and know that you'll find someone ready to talk, to listen, to pray, and then pray you through whatever the situations you are in right now. Before we get away, though, closing thoughts from our pastor, Dr. Don Wilton.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that Jesus died for me on the cross. Today, I repent of my sin, and by faith, I receive you into my heart. In Jesus' name. My friend, I welcome you today into the family of God. This is exciting news.
What a powerful message. Whether it's been what the Lord has spoken through the pastor in these last moments or through the entire message or this three-part series these last 3 days, if the Lord has stirred you to make a decision, to make a change, a course correction, let us pray you through that next step. We stand ready to pray with you right now at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or you can meet us online, keyboard to keyboard, at theencouragingword.org. It's our prayer that you would see that the Lord has provided us as a resource for you to help encourage you anytime, day or night. Again, the number is 866-899-9673, or meet us online at theencouragingword.org and take a look at things like this, Going After Jesus, that Cheryl will give you the details on how you can get your copy.
Are you seeking or rejecting God? The proof of love is the investment of time. You already know God loves you. He sent his son to die on the cross for your sins so that you could be forgiven and free. But have you ever wondered how to love him in return? The Bible says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. How do you do that? How do you practically live out that kind of love? This month, Dr. Don Wilton wants to help encourage and inspire you to pursue the God who is pursuing you in his message, Going After Jesus. Going After Jesus is available on CD or DVD for your gift of any amount today. Write to us at Post Office Box 2110, Spartanburg, South Carolina, 29304, or call us toll-free at 866-899-WORD, or visit online at theencouragingword.org. Thank you for your support. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry that broadcasts the good news of Jesus Christ around the world.
It's been a wonderful day on The Encouraging Word. And tomorrow, I'm looking ahead to something exciting, founding faith. You know, the foundations are such an important part of our lives. We'll be talking about that. More importantly, Dr. Don will be taking us straight to God's Word for more insight tomorrow on the next edition of The Encouraging Word. I pray till then you'll stay with us online at theencouragingword.org.
You guys have been a great inspiration to me, and I just wanted to call and say that you guys have lifted my heart. Every time I listen to you, Dr. Wilton, you brought me out of so many times when I felt down, and I just want to thank you so much, and I'll be listening again. Thank you.